Looking downfield, he's going to heave a bomb for Corey Davis at the goal line, into the end zone. He's got it! That's a Jet touchdown!
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, joined by a special guest, second time on the pod. It's the 75th pod I've done so far, Janae Coakley of SNY. Janae, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. This is my second time. I'm all excited.
I know. I'm excited.
So, because I always feel like I'm outdoors, you know.
I know. You might as well, you know, you're a better runner than me, so I'm I don't know. We'll get obviously we're in the bye week this week. Been very up and down, I would say, the first 5 weeks, mostly down, unfortunately. Some, you know, exciting second halves and things. The Tennessee game obviously stands out. What has been your overall kind of impression through the first 5 weeks of this Jets team?
I mean, listen, before camp started, before everything, it was be patient. This is a young team. And you have to be patient. I mean, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a very young team that's learning how to play, that's learning how, as Coach Saleh will say, not to lose. I think the thing that surprised me the most, though, is the slow starts. I mean, the fact that they have not scored in the first quarter in five games. Like, that's crazy to me. And just as the offense is, it's not clicking quite yet. But I've been very impressed with this defense because, you know, when we talked, I think earlier, we talked about how young the secondary is, how these cornerbacks, they've been phenomenal. I mean, they've been playing outright. But besides the Denver game, these guys have been every game. They haven't given up. So I think patience, patience, patience. It's a young team. You have to build a culture. You have to build a foundation. I mean, Quinnen Williams has never won in the month of September since he's been a professional athlete. That takes time to build. So I think, I know Jets fans don't want to hear this. They want to be patient. I'm a little more optimistic than I was last year at this time. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, no, it helps.
It's a lot of work.
I think at least knowing that the coach and the quarterback and the GM will all be here, after this year, I think makes the optimism.
Yeah.
It kind of helps. It's just knowing that, you know, you're building towards something. You mentioned those slow starts. What do you feel like the biggest issue is? Because for me, it doesn't make any sense. And it feels like all of a sudden the second half they come out and it's like they need, like last year, I know we talked about this off air. Last year was like the first quarter was great and then it would just spiral and be awful. And then this year it's like the first quarter is really bad. And then the rest of the game's like really exciting. So do you feel like there's one specific reason or it's a lot of different things?
I think it's a lot of different things. I don't know. I mean, because they have your first 15 plays scripted. You go over them over and over and over again. Like you said, last year, they moved that first 15 plays they had down packed. Now this year, it's like, we'll get going later. I talked to Coach Saleh, I think two Fridays ago, I asked him, I was like, do you have to change things up? Like, do you change up practice a little bit? Do you have to tweak something because of the slow start? And he said, no, we just have to be, again, I use this word, patient. Like, we do tweak some things, but it's just, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Mike LaFleur is actually still on the field and does it moves up to the box the second half of the season. I don't know how, I mean, I think I read somewhere, I think Brian Costello mentioned it in an article in the Post, how maybe have the first team offense play against the first team defense for a period of practice. I mean, we don't get to see practice anymore, so I don't know. It's just, again, if I had the answers, man, we'd be coaching the NFL, but I just don't get it. I just don't get the slow starts. And like you said, the first quarter, you're like, where are they? Did they show up? Home or away? And then the second, third quarter, like, who is this team? Okay, here they are.
It literally, like, what I don't understand to me is, like, I know, like, obviously I think the passing of Greg Knapp, I think is probably something that people kind of forgot about and how important he was just from that veteran presence. Even for LaFleur's 34 years old. Like, he's not a,
He's never been an offensive coordinator before.
Yeah, he's never called plays in the NFL. I think people forget, like, everyone expects Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. Like, I don't think people remember early Kyle Shanahan in Washington and Sean McVay in Washington, and everyone came from Washington basically, which is not a good thing based on the news this week, but that's not really the point.
We're also
but,
surrounded though by coaches, veteran coaches as well, yeah. Where if you look at Saleh's staff, he doesn't really have coaches that have been in that position before.
Yeah, it's like even Saleh's the first time head coach, right? It's like, it's not like he's ever been a head coach at any level either. So I think there's a lot of adjustment. I think the disappointing thing has been the slow start in Denver kind of made sense to me. I feel like that game was just, that's a brutal game for this team is not ready to win in September in Denver. Obviously in that late window against a good defense, the crowd. Yeah, that game felt over.
The offense wasn't.
No. And then even the defense, like the game to play, but you can only do so much. Last week was super disappointing for me, just from the aspect of like, they finally had a little bit of momentum and like felt like, I don't know, you were there. You can tell me if I'm wrong. It felt like there was a more pro Jets crowd. And like, it felt like there's this great momentum and going into the bye, they're kind of starting to get healthier. And like, it was like even worse than the couple, like it was just no interception. I mean, there's one interception, but it wasn't even turnover. It was like, they couldn't figure it out. Yeah. They're just like, everyone's not playing well at the same time. And on film, there's people open. There's guys open. Zach's like making the right reads. It's just slow. And,
Zach said a best star on like Monday when Zach was just like, I think I'm just overthinking things. Like, and now I'm becoming too robotic. And he just has to just let it go. But I mean, 5 weeks. He's only been in the NFL for 5 weeks.
So you're not ready to give up on Zach after 20 quarters?
I'm not. I know. I'm not a true, you know, I'm not a Jets fan. I cover the Jets. But no, I think, again, I coach Saul, and I don't know if it's fair to compare Zach's first five games to Josh Allen's first five games, because Josh Allen's team was different. He had a different surrounding, but you got to give these rookies a chance. No one's going to be Patrick Mahomes. No one is going to be like Patrick Mahomes. Like is like.
Yeah, he's already getting compared with Brady as a GOAT. Like and like, but yeah, what's interesting that, you know, you kind of pointed out and, you know, Zach's, I guess we can kind of talk about Zach in terms of like, he's been the throws against Tennessee or throws that I don't know. I mean, you've covered the Jets for a long time and I've watched them my whole life and I'm covering them now, but like, I've never seen throws like that. They're two or three against Tennessee. I don't know if there's five or six guys. I think DJ pointed this out, like maybe there's six guys in the NFL that make that throw. And then it's frustrating because you see the other ones, you're like, you want to shake him and like, throw the ball right now. And he's not doing it. What have you seen from Zach overall? Because obviously very much highs and lows as well.
Well, I like the way he's handled himself. I think he stays even keel, which is very important, especially in this market, I think sometimes he tries too hard to be superstar. Let's go win this game. Like put it on the back. Like we did, like I did in college. And he's learned like, well, I don't think I can do that anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, you know. I think there's an upside. He's shown so many flashes of potential. Like you said, the game in Tennessee, some of those throws you're like, okay, I see what you did there.
Like, what team am I watching?
Exactly, like, whoa, okay. But then you also saw some throws in London where you're like, he was wide open and you missed that throw. So, but again, it's just the learning curve. And I think Greg Knapp, I think had a huge impact on this team, but also there's no veteran quarterback in that room who can say, listen, this is what happens. I've been through this. This is, you know, I think it helps when you have that veteran leadership, you have someone in that room who's been there, done it, the experience just to talk, or even sometimes just to pull them out and be like, you know what, we're going to rest. Like when Sam Darnold hurt his thumb, that one time, or was it ankle? What was it?
Yeah, it was his ankle. He sat out.
Yeah, Josh played and he came back like a different person. I know it's different situations, different times, but I think sometimes you just need to sit back, watch it. And Zach can't. He doesn't. I mean, Mike White is his backup. He's never been in this situation before.
If Mike White starts playing this, I'm not sure how confident I would be watching a game, let alone, it would not be fun. But I think you mentioned something earlier, and I meant to get to this, but you mentioned LaFleur between being in the box versus on the field. And I know he's mentioned Zach wants him on the field. And I wonder if that's because he doesn't feel like he has that veteran presence to kind of set him down. He wants to talk to somebody. But I know LaFleur's mentioned he likes being in the booth. So they're going to have to figure that out, because as much as he might want Zach on the field, like Zach want him on the field, if he's not calling the plays properly, like I don't almost think it's hurting him. Like it's like difficult. I don't know what the answer is, because you don't want your quarterback to be feel lost, but also if the offensive coordinator's lost, that's not good. There's something's got to change there in that dynamic of, you know, where they sit and, you know, who, where they're doing stuff.
I don't know, does Mike feel more comfortable up in the booth, but Zach didn't want him. And so I don't know. I don't even know if that's the answer. I mean, it's an easy, oh, let's do this. That's an easy fix. And again,
yeah, it was like last year, like let's let Dowell call plays. And then it was the same playbook. So it didn't really change anything.
Exactly. And listen, I've never been a quarterback. I've never played in the NFL. I've never called a play in the NFL.
You and me both.
Who am I here to sit here? This is what they need to do. But I just think like,
something has to change.
Yeah. Something, don't overthink it. Like Mike, if you feel comfortable up in that booth, then you got to figure out why Dak wants you there.
Yeah. You know, there's gotta be some, yeah. The veteran quarterback thing is weird. Cause I didn't really, I guess I overlooked it all camp. And like, I was at camp, you were at camp every day. Like it didn't really, I thought it was a good thing. It was exact same every rep. There's no one to put pressure on him. And then like thinking about it now, like no one's there to be like, dude, chill. Like you can't throw that away or like whatever. And yes, Michael LaFleur is there and stuff, but he's trying to plan for that next series. It's like,
yeah, but Michael LaFleur has never played that position. Never.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, it's different when you have that veteran guy you can watch and have him around.
Even like, I was thinking about like Mark Brunell was so good for Mark back in like, and he was a Pro Bowl level quarterback. Like Josh was, you know, really great for Sam, but Mark Brunell was like an actual legitimately really good playoff level quarterback. And it's just something to be said for like somebody that's kind of that selfless like leader and that veteran presence. This team is so young. Like Sheldon Rankins is like the grizzly veteran and he's 27 years old. That's
like, another one just to have that veteran quarterback in the locker room. These guys are all young.
Yeah, most of them are younger than me.
I mean, I think they're like, at one point they were the youngest team in the NFL. They might be third youngest now or second. I mean, you got guys who average like 2 years ever playing a game. But again, they're in every game, minus the Denver game. But I feel like at the end, you feel like, okay, they might be able to win this. Where I like that attitude. I like that, you know, they're growing.
Yeah, I'd rather them lose that than 37-0. And it's like, you're like, oh, this was bad and this was bad. I wanted to get, we'll get some positives here. Who's been maybe two or three guys? I know for me, CJ Mosley is like, I cannot talk enough about CJ Mosley in the positive light.
Love that guy. I mean, I love CJ Mosley too.
Yeah, I mean, as he's, besides CJ, I guess we can talk about him, but who are some guys that have really stood out to you? Like, these are either building blocks or like, I did not expect them to play at this level and, you know, be this competitive.
Franklin Myers, who I love that guy. I mean, I know he was coming on strong last year, but like, he just like has like thrived. I love it. And he's one of the nicest guys you'd meet. I mean, just a real cool.
You got choked up. Don't lie. Yes. On Thursday.
Well, I wasn't in that press conference. Oh, I was actually doing a one-on-one with CJ Mosley over to the side. And so we saw it and then CJ and I were like, what happened? And then someone told CJ and I were like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like, how cool is that? Like,
I was going to say, I know how you are with your kids. I'm sure you would have.
I know. No, like if I would have saw it, I would have cried. Okay. I'll admit. No shame in that game. I love Jonathan Myers. I think he's awesome. Michael Carter, the running back in the safety. Wait. Yeah.
Corner, whatever. It's same thing.
In the secondary. Who knows there? I mean, I've been impressed with that rookie, Elijah Vera Tucker. I mean, I know he was a first round pick. He was supposed to do that. Like, but you know, it's not easy coming in. The O-line never played really together in the preseason. Quincy Williams, Quinnen's brother.
I had to eat some crow, Quincy Williams. I destroyed him after the Denver game. And I hate ripping on guys just because like, I know how hard it is. And like, I don't want to like destroy them, but I was like, this is why did the Jets, like, you can't possibly have just picked him up because of Quinnen. Like, this is so bad. And then the next game is Tennessee. And he's like, him and, you know, Quinnen are off, you know, with their grandma. And I was like, all right, I feel terrible. That was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I got to interview both of them together after the game. It was awesome. Such good kids. And like, and again, first brothers to ever, you know, each have a sack on from the same team in the same game. That's awesome. That's so cool. The defense has just really impressed me a lot.
They play hard. Like they really, they're physical. Like they're pretty relentless.
Yeah. I just overall, I think the defense has surprised me more than I thought. And again, like we talked about CJ Mosley, he's worth every penny you pay this kid.
It's crazy. Like that he took basically 2 years off. I mean, I know he wasn't taking, he didn't take 2019 off. He obviously got hurt, but basically took 2020 off and looks just as good, if not better, than he did. But like that doesn't happen in football. Maybe in baseball or something, you could be a pitcher and like Tommy John and something, but like 2 years off in football is a really long time. Le'Veon took 1 year off and then was done. Like, it's crazy.
And it's so funny because when I talked to CJ in London, and he just has like this, I don't know, like this happiness, this like freeing, like, and I said, are you having, I'm like, you just seem to be having a lot of fun. He's like, I'm having time in my life. Like, I think he's just out there, loves the game, appreciates the game because he didn't have it the last 2 years, and just is, I mean, he just loves it. And you can just tell he's just having fun out there.
Yeah, it's cool. I know. And like one Jets draft, they did a lot of stuff with his dad and like literally living in a basement, make $20 million a year. Like, there's no reason he needs to be living in his dad's basement working out. And like, you just tell, like, there's just like you mentioned, appreciation. But also, I think playing in Robert Saleh's defense, you look at a lot of these linebackers, the Fred Warners of the world and Bobby Wagner and all these guys, like, they just seem to like have their best years. And they're just like, they're given so much freedom. It's like their team. It's their defense. It's like CJ Mosley's defense. And like, I know that was a cool clip I tweeted. I think you might've tweeted that too, of like, he changed the play in Tennessee. He changed it to zone because he knew it. And like, to take Robert Saleh's been in the league for a long time. He's been to Super Bowls. Like, for him to be like, yeah, CJ Mosley did something no one's ever done in my defense, was like, that really took me back. I was not expecting him to even, you know, most coaches wouldn't admit that, which I think is cool about Saleh, that he is open with you guys too.
He's awesome. Like, and again, just changing that mindset. And it's hard. You got to change your culture. Again, Quinnen Williams has never won in the month of September as a professional.
Disgusting.
Isn't that crazy?
So bad. That's bad. That's really bad.
You have to change that. And again, I know Robert Saleh talks about this a lot, and Tony Dungy, I covered him with the Colts. It's really hard to teach a team how not to lose.
And they tried to lose that Tennessee game. Like, they really, the fact that they won that is so unjust. Wait a second.
Tennessee
tried to lose
that game. And they did.
Fat Randy Bullock. They
didn't necessarily win that game, but they didn't lose that game.
Yeah, which was a big thing. My mom literally, I brought my mom and she was like, they're going to lose this game. Like, this, the Jets don't know how to win. And I'm like, all right. All right, mom, I see you. That's a pretty interesting comment. But no, you're right. Like, they had so many chances to win that, like, lose that game, and they didn't, thankfully. But
yeah. So it's a big step. Like I said, it's 5 weeks in. I mean, again, where did you think the Jets would be right now?
I thought optimistically be 2-3 and realistically 1-4. Like, I was disappointed that they didn't win one of. I thought they could win one of Carolina, New England, or Atlanta.
I thought they'd be 2-3. We wouldn't be talking. There wouldn't be any like necessary negativity, like disappointment, if they went into the bye 2-3.
Yeah, because now it's like you have this. I don't know. There's just something about the fact that the way they lost on Sunday, where like they were in the game, but like they kind of felt like they were getting blown out, but also could have won. It was like that weird,
and a bend don't break.
Yeah, it was a bend don't break thing, and it was kind of weird. And then now you have 2 weeks of like, does Zach Wilson suck? Should Robert suck? I'm like, guys, I tweeted out like 5 times, and people are getting all butthurt about it. I'm like, you guys chill out. Like,
I mean, like you said, what did you really think they were gonna be?
400 yards a game, 35 points. I'm just asking for a first down in the first quarter. That's all I'm asking for.
Exactly. I'm asking for maybe a field goal in the first quarter. I mean, just some points. Like, the fact that they have been shut out in the first quarter every single game.
It was 73 yards in the first quarter in 5 games.
Yeah, those aren't good numbers. But at the end of the day, like I said, you've got to feel good moving forward. They have some really good pieces. They just have to figure it out. But that's what happens. You have a young team and you're trying to change the culture. And the other thing that surprises me is a Denzel Mims.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, well, I know.
Look at that.
I love Kim Jones, and she tweeted it out during the game, I think. And she might have asked the question, I could be wrong, yesterday. I think she asked Salah, someone maybe did. She was like, you guys have to incorporate Mims, right? Like, she was kind of like, it was kind of like putting a little pressure on Salah, because I know he skated around the answer, oh, it's the playbook and these things. And I think that flew for a little while, because it was like, okay, I can see it. He's missed a lot of camp. And I didn't, truthfully, when I was at camp, I wasn't like, wow, Mims looks great. Like, he did look like the fifth or sixth receiver. But when he gets in the game, he's played really well. Like, last year he did, this year.
27 yards.
Yeah. Maybe the one Carolina. He looked good on Sunday. Like, I thought he looked pretty good.
So me, he's a big body. He's fast. He's quick. Throw him. Get him down there. Get him the damn ball. Again, yeah. I don't get paid big bucks to be the coach. I don't get paid big bucks to be the quarterback. I don't get big bucks to be the offensive coordinator. But it's easy for me to be like, dude, just use him.
Like, this guy looks like he should be playing. Like, explain to me and, like, explain to me like I'm an idiot why he's not playing right now. Like, no, I thought the same thing. They have to find a way to get – I think their four best receivers are pretty clearly Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, Corey Davis, and Jameson Crowder. And I'd like to see at some point this year all four of them on the field at one time. And just, like, I don't know, my one biggest gripe, and this is – I actually think LaFleur's been better than people give him credit for. I think there's stuff that's been there, and there's been drops and bad protection and whatever. Stop putting Zach under center so much. Like, these college quarterbacks generally all play in shotgun a lot in college. They see the field. They don't turn their back to the defense at all. And, like, I felt like, especially the games where he struggled the most, it's like these teams are blitzing him. He turns his head, and all of a sudden, like, there's a million things going on. And that's when he seems like to slow down and not process. So I just would like to see play fast. Like, you're this young team. I feel like you should have this energy that, like, you can run 90 plays and, like, the other team might get tired. You're not, because you guys are 23, 24. You'd be like, I don't know, that's the cool part about being young, right? Like, you've never experienced this stuff. So there's no.
You're too dumb to know what's not to do.
Yeah, you don't know what not to do. So you just keep going, because that's what you do. And most of these guys all won every game in college, or damn near every game. So I don't know. Now, I guess going out of the bye, they have New England again. And then I was going to ask you about Indy, because I know that's going to be really exciting for you. But coming out of the bye with New England, like, what's a realistic expectation? I don't think New England's as good as the Jets made them look, but at the same time, obviously the Jets have not done well against New England.
I think the Jets can win this. I mean, I feel a little more confident if it was at MetLife Stadium, because Bill doesn't lose in, you know, at Gillette Stadium. But I think the Jets have a really good chance of beating them. I think if they're just in the game and they keep it close, like, if it comes down to the last play, I'm okay with that. Like, if they get off to a fast start and, like, put points on the board that first quarter, like, show me that you are moving this way and not this way. Like, show me you're going that way. I think, like I said, I think the Jets can beat the New England Patriots. I really do. The Patriots, like you said, are not very good.
No, I think the Jets made them look a lot better than.
Yeah.
And, like, and I know you can't throw out games, but, like, the Brady game. Yeah, they're 2-3, but, like, Houston lit them up on Sunday. And I know you can't take stuff out of games, but, like, the Brady coming back to New England in the rain, and, like, yeah, they looked fine, but that game had so much emotion. Brady, who never gets kind of fired up, was, like, you could tell he was off. So I feel like that game should be taken out. That's a once in a lifetime, we'll never see that happen again type of game. So I don't know. Obviously, week 8, though, I think it's week 8, and maybe it's week 9. Jets go to Indy.
They do.
Week 9, right? I think it's week 9.
Then Indy.
And how excited are you? This is pretty cool for you.
I love Indy. I mean, I was there for 4 years, covered 2 Super Bowls with them. And the great thing about Indy is people don't leave. So, like, my boss is still there. Like, all my, like, friends
are cool.
Michigan.
And it's like, the only nationally televised game they have. It's like
the only one Thursday night, let's hope. I think that they can be very competitive in that game. I think
there's no reason they can't be.
No, not at all. And I think this would be the perfect time for them to be like, look, see, we're building. Like you said, a primetime game Thursday night in Indy. I love the stadium. I love Lucas Oil Stadium. I just love the people. I love the fans. I just love Indy. I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of the best stadiums to watch a game on TV as well. It's like it's very easy to, it like kind of pops. The turf is very nice at the light. I don't know. It's like certain stadiums are very watchable. Like Dallas is a very TV friendly stadium. I think MetLife's a little better on TV than it is in person, but I guess it's a.
Let me tell you though, the stadium in London,
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah. The best stadium I've ever been in my life.
Oh, interesting.
We walked up to, first of all, the press box is outdoors, which is awesome.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Line, like two rows up, like it was awesome. You walk up and you just see it. You're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then they have like to the side, there's like these stands that go all the way up like this. And it's built for the home team fans to sit there. And it's just so loud and so like crazy. And then like the opening of this game, again, I've covered two Super Bowls. I've been to three Super Bowls. I've never seen something so, like.
It's weird on TV. It's hard. It was hard to tell because like the sound was all messed up.
It was. Oh, really?
Hey, for like it went out for. I was streaming it because it was like on the NFL Network, and it like went out for a little bit, and then in, and like, I couldn't tell like the atmosphere and everyone. I saw you were saying it. Like DJ was tweeting it. Like this atmosphere is crazy, and I was like, what am I missing? Like, I want to see what's going on.
Like just like the fans, the light shows, the running out, then they sang the British national anthem, and then the American.
Was someone up in like the ceiling or like whatever?
Way up, and then the blue, red, white, and blue cart screaming out, and then all of a sudden, like these four fighter jets fly over. I mean, it was, again, never experienced something like that. And I've been to pretty much all the stadiums. I haven't been to the new SoFi. Is that the LA stadium?
Yeah, it's a new one. And then Vegas, I guess, is the only other new one, right?
We should have gone to both last year,
but yeah, that would have been, I don't know. I was excited. I wanted to go to a real game last year. But I guess two more things. And before we wrap, what do you, like, if you had to predict their record, I don't know what your prediction going into the season was. Has it changed at all? And if so, like, how many wins do you think they realistically end up with, you know, by the end of the year?
I'm thinking between 4 and 6. But as long as
they won two games last year, so
yeah, at the end of the year, if they're going up, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. I know they don't like saying that, but this was a rebuilding year. This was a year that's supposed to show progress. They weren't supposed to be, they weren't going to the Super Bowl, people. They weren't going to the playoffs. Like, we got to chill a little bit. Like, most teams don't do that turnaround. You have to build a foundation. Like, you can't knock down a house and then a week later expect the house to be built back up without any problems. You just got to build a foundation. I was thinking, I think 6 is real optimistic. 4 is probably about reasonable. And Washington,
yeah. 5. I like a sucker got trapped into saying 7 wins in the preseason. Although some of the teams that they have later in the year, like, it's Miami looks a lot worse than
yes.
I think I thought they were going to. Although I should have known the offensive line's bad. Yes. I wanted to ask you one thing about the rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, everyone's kind of struggled so far. You know, I've seen some moments from everybody. Do you feel like, I know Mac Jones got a lot of praise and I'm not quite sure why. I guess I should know the answer to that. But what would you attribute to like all these rookies who were supposed to be these uber talented, like everyone expects them to come in and play well and they've all like really struggled? I kind of figured that would happen, but have you seen anything?
Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, like you have
they kind of ruined it for everybody.
It did. And think about like Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the game. For how many did he play his rookie year?
Nope.
Look at Tom Brady.
Mahomes didn't play his rookie year.
No, that's just Alex Smith. I mean, he didn't start his rookie year either. Like, that's what people, and again, I mean, but Mahomes actually didn't win a Super Bowl second year. So it's like, but again, he had pieces around him. But like you said, he didn't even, like, you're expecting these kids to come in and just take over. It didn't happen. You don't, again, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. I know Peyton Manning started, but he was horrible. his rookie year.
So bad.
Horrible.
Josh Allen was awful. He was so bad.
Exactly. Exactly. Josh, I mean, and look at their building. I mean, Kyler Murray, he was decent, right?
He was fine, but like he wasn't Kyler Murray that he is now, 2 years later.
I'm trying to.
Baker was fine. Lamar wasn't great, and Lamar won an MVP as his second year.
That's just it. But again, I just think sitting out a year is okay. But we're such a me, now, has to get done. Like coaches get, again, my husband, as you know, my husband's a coach.
Yeah.
Like coaches need time to build their program. What happens is they don't see results immediately. Well, he's done. He's got to go. Bye. And then the next coach comes in and tries. It's like, look at the best teams in the league right now. They've been built up by, and they have a hell of a quarterback. And they've been, I mean, again, look at the Patriots for how many years. Look at the Indianapolis Colts for how many years. Look at Green Bay for how many years. You have your quarterback, and you also have a strong team around them and this coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's interesting. If you look at all those young guys, right? Like, Sean Payton's had the same system. I know New Orleans, they're going into kind of that transition, but Josh Allen's with the same.
They had Drew Brees for how many years?
Right, they had Drew Brees, same coach, same offensive coordinator, Baltimore, same staff, same quarterback, Buffalo, Kansas City. I mean, the Chargers are switched, but like Brandon Staley, by the way, has been as impressive as anybody I've seen thus far. Brandon Staley, the Chargers coach, some of the comments he's made with like the way he handled the Gruden stuff, I thought was awesome. But I don't know, I thought that was really cool to like see people be mature about situations when not everyone's that mature right now. But no, you look at all those guys, they've all kind of stability. Like the Jets have never had that stability. I think that's something that's really like they've struggled with.
But you have to build that stability. Like it doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 3 years. It doesn't.
This market doesn't exactly allow stability.
But look at Tom Coughlin. They wanted into Eli Manning. They want him gone. And then he won a Super Bowl.
Eli was terrible in the beginning. Didn't he like the zero quarterback? I think that's like the infamous thing. I don't know if it was the Ravens or something. Like we thought Eli was going to like walk and never play football again. And then he won 2 Super Bowls. So
how many times the Giants fan want Coughlin gone?
Yeah. And he was there for a long time. And that's a really demanding fan base too. I know the Jets fans kind of are a little more emotional, but the Giants fans aren't, you know, easy either. Yeah, that's part of, unfortunately, the way it goes. There's a lot of obviously.
I mean, again, I feel bad for Jets fans. I truly do.
It's tough. I can't tell you it's enjoyable every Sunday. The problem is what happens, there's a cycle. It's like all week, you're like depressed on Monday and Tuesday. You're angry when everyone gone. By Wednesday, you talk yourself into, we might win. Sunday morning comes. Oh, we're definitely winning. And then by the end of the first quarter, you're like, yeah, this is bad. I'm never coming to the stadium again.
Do you feel different this year just because it's a new coach, new quarterback? Like, do you feel like
I don't know. It's difficult. I've been trying to be as like, obviously now with the podcast and trying to cover the team, I try to be as unbiased as possible, but like, it's really difficult. I'm like going to the Tennessee game all week. I'm like, I don't want to pick them. I don't want to pick them. And then Friday comes and I'm like, damn it, they're going to win this game. And they did, which was awesome. But like, you get bought in. That's the problem. I don't know. I think people forget, like when you get in that stadium on Sundays, like as much as you want to rebuild and all these different things, and you're okay with losing, the emotion of the crowd, and you want to be
not okay with losing.
Yeah.
Like they're not okay with losing, but they're learning.
Yeah, that's okay. I just can't like, it's just difficult. You like, that's what people I think understand, even in the NBA and baseball, whatever it is, like, it doesn't matter. Like you get in that game and all of a sudden the other team gets paid too. You're getting paid. Like, you go on Twitter, you don't want to have fans talking shit to you. And like, you know, that's like, you want to be like, yeah, this is my team.
Yes. I think we talked about last time in the podcast, like my husband watches film, goes to practice. Like sometimes they have a bad game. He doesn't go, you know what? Let's go. I want to lose this game. Let's go have a bad game.
If you did, that's probably an issue.
Like, it's just like, again, maybe I have a different perspective, but it's like, these guys are out there busting their asses to try to win, but it takes time. Just like you have to work your way up. My daughter just learned how to ride a two-wheeler. She didn't just get on a two-wheeler and ride her bike. We had training wheels. We took a training wheel off. She fell off several times trying to balance it, and now she can ride a two-wheeler. It didn't happen overnight. I mean, she did go really quickly. I was.
You do have a slightly athletic family, if we're being honest.
Like, just turned three, and she was determined to ride a two-wheeler.
Did she get any advice from Michael Jordan this time, or we're putting that on hold?
I know, right?
There's a lot of, obviously, you know, the Jets will be, take on New England, and there'll be a lot of exciting stuff. Make sure you catch me on SMY, Twitter, you know, Instagram. I think everyone kind of knows where to catch you at this point. Also, you have to interview Christian Pulisic, which was pretty cool. I'm a huge soccer fan. He's a Jets fan.
He is awesome. Nicest guy. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know who he was, and he was standing right next to me. Started talking.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty big deal.
And then I was like, oh.
Especially in London, it's a big deal.
He's tiny. He's little.
Yeah, he's a small dude. He's maybe 5'8",
I think he's 5'9". Like 5'8". Like, he's tiny. Yeah. I mean, but you don't expect to be like one of the best athletes in the world.
So yeah, no, you forget that, like, he captain. Like, people will realize more who he is once we make the World Cup this year, for 2022.
Oh, don't worry, people over there know exactly who he is.
Like, oh yeah, in London, oh, he's a big deal. He's a bigger deal. Like, I feel like he's almost a bigger deal in Europe than he is here. Which,
no doubt.
Really weird, but
I know he his father and grandfather are Jets fans.
Oh, okay, makes sense. Because I was gonna feel like he's a Philly kid, like, or Hershey.
I think he was born in New Jersey.
Okay, well, there we go. That makes sense. But I'm happy to claim him. It's okay.
Long Island, and are huge, huge Jets fans. So he's kind of born into. I don't know how much he like, but he.
The Jets have a pretty famous like fan base, I will say. Like, for not being very good, there's a lot of like very famous people that love the Jets. Like, there's a lot of rappers and like. Tony Soprano back in the day.
A Jets fan. Like, like I said, his father and grandfather are huge, huge Jets fans. I think he focuses more on soccer than,
football. Hope so.
His sport more than like the American football. But yeah, you're right. Think of all the people who are Jets fans. Think of all the movies you watch and you see a Jets jersey.
I know. Like, I don't know. There's always an Adam Sandler Jets jersey flying around. I'm trying to think. There's like somebody else that's really famous. But yeah.
An elf.
He's in a Wayne Corbett jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. But no, obviously appreciate you hopping on. Hopefully next time around, we'll have some more positive, positive things. This one's a little more positive than last time. Last time we were talking about Sam. Yeah, we were talking about Sam. And unfortunately, that for both of us ended rather quickly after that. But it's okay. He's doing all right in Carolina.
I'm a huge Sam Darnold fan. I will root for him.
Yeah, me too. I want him to do well, but I want, just like I want Geno to do well for Seattle, but I hope that Seattle loses every game this year so the Jets pick is better. But Jamal's not doing himself any favors on Jets Twitter, but whatever, that's a whole nother discussion. More power to him. The Blitz Boy stuff's never going to end, but we obviously appreciate you coming on. And, make sure you're following Janae. And
that's not for you.
Yeah, there we go. We'll make it work, but we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.